the bulk of my work comes out of this place of the explosive female body and really meditating on that and looking at that. The body has always been my deepest interest and painting the figure. And that has been the case for many, many years. And so when I started to think about family building and my reproductive health and my fertility, just even the inkling of those thoughts, the work started to become infused with these images of motherhood, of the reproductive female body, because it represents so much. There's so much richness there for me in terms of how we talk about the female body, in terms of its messiness and its inability to be contained.
I'm your host, Caitlin Salamini, and this is the Postpartum Production Podcast. Here, we hold conversations about the intersection of caregiving, creative practice, and capitalist production, as well as what it means to be producing art while also being a parent in modern society. Find out more at www.postpartumproduction.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. Okay. So we are finally here. Why do I always start these podcasts with the word so? I feel like I do all the time. I don't know. It feels like I'm entering here from another space. Like I need a filler word to connect me from the experience of my real life or whatever that is. And this little pocket of audio that's drifting off to wherever you are today. So here we are. Episode 1 of season 3. It's feeling a bit dreamlike to be here now, to have somehow, some way, in the midst of my third postpartum journey, created this beautiful gem of a community of voices talking to us about their experiences in caregiving and creativity. I honestly didn't expect this, but it's also an occasion to take a pause, which I'm really needing these days, especially given that I'm feeling like I get very winded easily. So a moment to take a breath. And I invite you, wherever you are right now, to join me in this so. It reminds me a little bit, actually, of the so hum mantra I recall from yoga practices so long ago, now that I don't get to do so much. So hum, or I am that. So, okay, as I mentioned in a marginalia episode before this season launched, I've been dealing with a chronic illness since early January. That's required me to take a lot more so hum pauses. It also means I've been thinking about this podcast space, about what it requires of me energetically, what it provides, and how. We've talked about capitalist means and how art doesn't always fit into restrictive spaces of capitalist production. And I'm still feeling that very much here. So, in order to continue to support our team and give a space for these incredible conversations and narratives, I've started a postpartum production Substack newsletter, which you can find at postpartumproduction.substack.com. And if you feel compelled to support us from a monetary standpoint, that's the place where you can become a paid subscriber. The funding goes directly to supporting our incredible team. Shout out to Erin, Lindsay, and Catherine, who've been the women supporting our launch this season. My dream has always been to provide more caregiving and creative support to our guests and community by way of a revenue model, and anything you can give will help us there. So, I'm really battering that in here. Episode 1 is a fantastic way to delve into this season's focus, birth and creativity. And no better person to lead the way than artist Alexandra Carter, who, when we held this conversation, was just weeks from giving birth to her second child. Alexandra and I have been acquainted for a few years now, and when we decided on the theme for this season, I knew Alexandra would have a lot of incredible insights. We actually went to the same high school, and I followed her work for some time. And while she was raised in New England on a cranberry bog, nonetheless, more on that soon, she now lives and works in San Diego. She received an MFA from Goldsmiths University of London and a bachelor's degree from Rhodes College in Memphis. Her recent solo exhibitions include Monstrous Mothers at the Middle Room in Los Angeles, Bumps and Grinds at Rogers Gallery in Las Vegas, A Sense of Heat in Her Brain at Luna Aeneas Gallery in Los Angeles, Berries for Baobo at Radiant Space in Los Angeles, and Tether, which was a duo show at Ulan Gallery in Solana Beach, California. She's also been featured in galleries in Turin, Italy, Memphis, and Buenos Aires. As you'll learn in this conversation and viewing her work, which we'll include in our show notes and on social media, her work is a fascinating blend of materiality, color play, and as she puts it, the explosive female body. In this episode, we discuss how her birth experiences and motherhood have impacted her artistic endeavors and what she anticipates in this next birth experience. I'm excited to announce that we'll have a follow-up interview with Alexandra about her second birth, which, no spoilers here, was full of unexpected and yet very supported and beautiful turns, and may I say, definitely featured an explosive female body. So many congrats to Alexandra on the arrival of her second child, born just a few weeks after this recording. So, welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 with Alexandra Carter. This is my first episode this season with a focus on birth and art, and those subject matters as vast and diverse and complicated and interesting as they can be. So I'm open to what's going to come out of this. And I honestly often enter these conversations with very little expectations and prefer to give you the ability to kind of sit in where you are right now and speak from that point rather than feeling like directed by whatever ideas I might have. And I mean, I have ideas, but I also want to be able to be mindful of what's happening on your end. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to learn more about your process, to hear more about your relationship to caregiving and mothering and art and birth specifically in this season. So I'm really glad that this worked out, that we're able to dig in at this moment, especially given where you are. So why don't we start with that, with tell me where you are today, what's going on in your body and your life and your mind and your heart and everything.
Yeah, I feel like this couldn't have come at a better moment because it's like, I'm so in it right now. So I'm 38 weeks plus 5 days pregnant and I'm in that like birth portal mode and constantly paying attention to the baby's movements. I just felt the baby move, you know, because towards the end of pregnancy, and this happened with my last one, there's an increased level of anxiety because I really want a natural birth. I want everything to happen naturally, but I do get some pressure on the medical side to induce because there's like, you know, in the medical world, there's a million reasons to induce. And I think that's silly. But my last baby came at 42 weeks, technically 42 plus one. And that wait was so intense. And so I'm kind of gearing up for it again and like just trying to prepare myself to mentally be okay if this baby comes pretty late too. But also at the same time, just getting so excited for this birth and what's going to come of it, and also the artwork that's going to happen afterwards. And the artwork that's happening now is really like meditating on this process. So,
wow. So yeah, tell me a little bit more about your journey as an artist and how that has tandemed with your motherhood journey, because I know there's a lot there and I don't know what feels like the appropriate place for you to start, but I'm curious to hear more because I don't personally know your trajectory as an artist and where that started.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I've always been an artist. Like, I was definitely an artist then and knew that that's what I was going to do. Always a painter. And even though that got challenged over and over in grad school and stuff, but the bulk of my work comes out of this place of the explosive female body and really meditating on that and looking at that. The body has always been my deepest interest and painting the figure. And that has been the case for many, many years. And so when I started to think about family building and my reproductive health and my fertility, just even the inkling of those thoughts, the work started to become infused with these images of motherhood, of the reproductive female body, because it represents so much. There's so much richness there for me in terms of how we talk about the female body, in terms of its messiness and its inability to be contained. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it. So they're figurative paintings, and they're usually about life size. Like, I really like working on figures that are the same size as me and having that kind of theatrical interaction with the piece, and then installing them that way so that other people have that interaction. And I work mostly with acrylic ink on drafting film, which looks a lot like water. Like, when you look at my website, it'll look a lot like watercolor, but these pieces are actually, like, it's very watered down acrylic. So it's a little more saturated than watercolor. And it's on top of this kind of polyester film, which kind of emphasizes its own liquidity. Like, it's even more kind of spilly and splashy than watercolor on paper. And what I like about that is how it really mirrors that idea of the fact that we can't contain these bodies. This body is just so permeable and so messy and explosive. It's kind of always erupting. And that's where a lot of these pieces came from. And that's what I was working on even in undergrad and grad school. And I think it was soon after grad school that I was starting to think about a family and this process of fertility became such a huge part of my life. And just looking into, like, fertility imagery and fertility mythology, I was also in Europe for a lot of this time. So there was so much of the art historical pieces around me in all of the famous museums all around Europe of mythology that were so infused with these ideas of fertility and, you know, these multi-breasted women, or Artemis, who is often depicted as having this huge set of breasts. And just the idea of lactation even fascinated me. And soon we were totally ready to have kids and realized that I had a fertility issue. And so we went down the path of IVF, which was excruciating and has been, because we've had to do it twice now for two kids. I mean, we've done it multiple times, but in order to get two. And it opened my mind to exactly, like, what happens in the body. Mm-hmm. Like, you learn so much. I think we talked about this before. You learn so much about how it actually works, right? How the entire reproductive system works, how ovulation works, how implantation works. And that is the silver lining, for sure, of fertility treatment, because you suddenly understand your body in such a minute and microscopic way. And my husband's a scientist, so it was fascinating for both of us, in a sense. So working on getting my body to ovulate, basically, that was my issue, was ovulation. And working on that and then kind of caressing these eggs out of me and then nurturing the embryos that resulted in that created this whole new language in my work, which was not just about, like, the iconography of fertility and the rituals around fertility in a, like, historic sense, but also this new, like, scientific language. And what struck me so hard was how many words that were used in the fertility world were also used in the agricultural world. And I come from an agricultural world because I grew up on a cranberry farm. And that actually has long been a little part of my work. Like, I've depicted it in my paintings for quite a long time. at first it was just to give the work a sense of my own identity, but then it became even more meaningful in my fertility journey because I could equate these berries that were the sustenance, like the literal sustenance of my childhood, with the female body. Suddenly, I could kind of take the berries out of their original context of this somewhat patriarchal farmer society that I grew up in. I mean, a very small little like operation of basically my father and his brother that ran this cranberry crop. And I loved them all very much, but you know, patriarchy is intense and it felt really good to take these images of cranberries and put them into the female body. And so suddenly some of the works had like cranberry breasts or cranberry bellies. And that has kind of continued to like come in and out of the work throughout fertility treatment and pregnancy and everything, as not just like a signature of my iconography, but also something that just like, it makes sense to use that imagery at some points in my practice. And so, yeah, I feel like now I've gotten to a point where it kind of weaves its way in and out. And I'm also just like meditating on the process right now with my work, the process of the second time around, trying for this second child. And it was even more trying this time. It was more intense because we had a miscarriage of one of the embryos. And so we had to do another egg retrieval. And it's just been such a roller coaster. And using the work to talk about all that, I think is really important because I think there's not enough language out there that really talks about all of this stuff, whether it's infertility or postpartum or these really vulnerable but beautiful times in a woman's life.
And actually the notes ahead of this conversation you had mentioned, and I found it really fascinating, this, I don't know if it, you could call it like a dialectical, or I kind of see it as this like tension and rub between the work in a sense that you have done in order to carry a child yourself and to have gone through fertility treatments, and then the work that you want to do in your childbirth process, like the framework that you're approaching childbirth with, that feel, sometimes it sounded like kind of in tension with each other. And I was curious about how that has influenced your work, and then also just personally, you know, what that process has been like for you. And I'd love to hear more. I know obviously you're anticipating your second birth journey right now, and whether or not you're comfortable right now to talk about your first journey or how you've processed and how you're preparing for this, both as a human being in a human body and as an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. I could talk about this forever. It's been so interesting to kind of go from the highly medical, highly monitored state of being an IVF patient through the early first trimester to really embracing like a much more natural kind of mindset. And it's funny because I've been going to these village prenatal meetings is what they're called. And they're basically these like gatherings of pregnant women, but most of these women are planning home births or even free births. Some of them have had wild pregnancies, which is literally the opposite of IVF, because it's just like zero monitoring whatsoever, which is totally awe-inspiring to me. And I feel like a fish out of water a lot of the time, but I also feel totally part of the conversation too, because it's been such a illuminating process, especially with my first pregnancy, to get to that point where I was like, you know, I really would like to see the rest of this pregnancy happen naturally. I would like for this baby to come naturally, you know, to go from IVF to then waiting for the baby to come 2 weeks late was like a big deal for me, you know, because I mean, most people would just be like, yes, induce me. But I really wanted her to come on her own terms. And I'm so, so glad I did. It turned out great. the birth, you know, there was definitely ups and downs with the birth, but for the most part, it was pretty beautiful. And, you know, it's hard not to like judge certain parts of it, judge my performance or whatnot. But I feel like I had never done it before. And I didn't know that if I could do it, because here I was, I needed so much help to get pregnant that I was like, oh my God, what if my hormones don't fire the way that they should for this birth process? And so the fact that she did finally come vaginally, you know, rather than like there was no emergency C-section or anything like that, which I was thankful for, was just like so confidence boosting. And so I think this time around, I'm much more sure of myself. I'm much more like, I know what I want to stand up for in terms of like, if any of my wishes are challenged. And I think that's so important. But at the same time, there's all the anxiety of just the unknown. Like, you have no idea how it's going to go, no matter what. So that's still definitely there. And in the work, in my artwork, a few months ago, it was still like reflecting on that fertility process and the hoops that I had to jump through to get this pregnancy. And now it's really thinking about the hoops that I will be jumping through in birth and postpartum, because that is such an intense time too. And postpartum is something that it's not talked about nearly enough in terms of what physically, like what the body goes through and emotionally. And I've been starting to look at it much more in a sense of awe, like what the body does quite quickly right after birth. It's pretty amazing. And I'm really excited to go through that again, even though it's hard and intense. I'm excited to go through it again. And it's interesting because I use my own body most of the time for my paintings. So I just have my husband take pictures of me in all these different weird poses, making this performance. And I kind of up the ante a lot during pregnancy because it's really fun to have all these pictures of me at different stages doing weird things for paintings. And this time I really want to do a lot more postpartum pictures too, like immediate postpartum and like a few months postpartum. Because the last time I did, I think I waited like many months postpartum to start taking pictures of myself again. And even when I look at myself 6 months postpartum in those pictures, because most of these are nude pictures, I see the difference in my body from then to like then 6 months after that. It's like this idea of bouncing back or whatever is so silly. And it's kind of amazing how the body like marks itself from a child. And I don't see that in a bad way, really. I don't, it's kind of beautiful. Mm.
How does that manifest in the work that you're doing as an artist? Like, I'm curious how you embody that in the art as well. Those changes and those transformations.
Yeah. I mean, like in 2022, I feel like a lot of my work was about this because that would be basically the year following my first birth. And I remember just, I was making a lot of work about gravity on the body. And so like just women with really like sagging part, not just breasts, but like rows of sagging body parts, and not in this like, oh, poor me kind of way, not in a sad, wrinkly old breast way, but in this way that's like these big engorged body parts that are just like constantly at the whim of another and constantly at the whim of gravity. So just focusing on even just like these more minute physical aspects of those sensations, because I think that's what was so striking for me, was like all the different sensations that we go through after having a child. Whereas we talk a lot about the sensations of birth, right? Like there are so many books about birth, and it will kind of prepare you for all of those sensations, whether it's like active labor or the ring of fire. Whereas the sensations of postpartum are not nearly talked about as much as, like, you know, the uterus kind of starting to constrict. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it's like much more intense for subsequent pregnancies. So I'm like preparing myself for that. And the process of breastfeeding and all those sensations. I think it's just so fascinating to feel all of these things so specifically and so intensely, because it's like, this is the only time in my life where I've been so forced to think about what's going on inside of my body. Mm. And I kind of wish we were always thinking about that. But I think in pregnancy and postpartum, you're so much more aware because there's an actual being that was inside, and then it's outside, and that feeling of emptiness even is so, so striking. So I think that's what a lot of the work was about very soon after giving birth. A lot of reflections of the sensations of pregnancy, but also the sensations thereafter. Mm.
You just took me to this moment that I hadn't thought about in a really long time, which was right after I gave birth to my first child. My midwife at some point was like, you know, go take a shower. And I was in the shower and I remember like just this moment of loss, like this, it makes me feel so sad now because I know I'm not going to be pregnant ever again, but just like, oh my gosh, my body is mine again. This is like, it's giving me chills. Like my body returned to me in a totally different form. Like, I don't think I'd known obviously or processed what that even meant transformationally as becoming a mother, but I'd totally forgotten about that moment of just that first moment, that visceral sense of, oh my gosh, I just gave birth and it felt so, I don't even know how to define it. There was a loss feeling, but there was also this return at the same exact time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of loss and return at the same time. Cause it also, like, I remember even just like immediately after giving birth and having the midwife's hand up me because she was trying to fish out a piece of the placenta that didn't come. And it's just like, oh my God, that was the craziest sensation in the world. But I felt like this empty bag. And my baby was just, you know, was being held by my husband, like just a few feet away. And it was just such a crazy feeling of, yes, like there's like this loss, but then it's like, oh, this is, it's all mine now again, you know, like it belongs to me. And that's something I actually, like, if you talk to me like on a daily basis during pregnancy, I am definitely not like a joyous pregnant person that's just loving the experience. I am not cool with like my body not being mine, you know? So I'm really looking forward to that again, to the return.
I'm a little bit, I guess, concerned in terms of this podcast season, because I'm extremely obsessed with childbirth, with activism around childbirth, and so much of that, which I don't have to get into on this episode specifically, but so much of that comes from my own really positive and transformative and incredibly supported experiences that I had through both prenatal birth and postpartum because of the work that I did, but also the privilege that I had to be able to sit in a space that was so supported. And it sounds like you also have had through the Village prenatal type of resources, through midwifery, you know, through a lot of other ways in which you've been able to support yourself and inform yourself and feel, you know, like you're coming at the experience with a strong sense of what you need and what you want. But I'm a little concerned, like, how do we talk about birth and art? Because birth, obviously, A, is done in so many different ways, and B, is experienced in so many different ways, and C, I mean, let's be real, we're not like creating art, like we are so focused on the birth process when we as the body are in it, that it's like, how do you even talk about art and birth like at that actual moment? So I'm trying to understand myself and hope that guests can help me to unpack this a little bit of like, can we talk about this? Like, what does it mean? And can we sit in the moment of birth itself? right? As an artistic experience, like, what does that mean? Like, as an artist, as you create other forms of art, what, I don't know how that sits with
you. Yeah, I mean, and I think about this all the time, and it, not to sound hokey, but obviously, like, giving birth is like this great act, great creative act. And I think this has evolved a lot over my experience of just talking about motherhood and being a mother and being a maker in general. The procreative act is so aligned with making art. And I'm definitely not one of these artist mothers that's going to complain about, like, or I won't complain that much about how much my daughter's schedule has affected my studio schedule in a negative way, because honestly, it's affected it in a positive way from a certain perspective anyways. Because there's something that's so harmonious about nurturing this new life. And now she's, you know, she's almost three. She's like this whole personality, which is amazing to me. And nurturing paintings out of my brain and out of my hands. And there's something that just, it makes so much sense in tandem, those two things. And I think birth is the same. It's like this really concentrated moment of that happening. It's like the best damn painting I ever made, you know, like that happened, you know, pretty fast. There's something that, yeah, it's kind of indescribable about how much those two are linked in my experience. And in joining other artists, mother collectives and communities and following each other on Instagram, I see that more and more. And especially with the greater acceptance of this becoming a language and a dialogue that we can talk about in the high art world. Mm-hmm. Like motherhood is no longer as, or, you know, it's the taboo of motherhood or the kind of overly sweet, overly saccharine ideas of motherhood are being challenged within the art world. And it's being given a better look critically, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a product of how much this all aligns and how much, you know, at least there is a little more democracy in the art world via social media. So we're seeing more images of that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, you had mentioned that your work is very preoccupied with the explosiveness of the body and of the female body specifically, you had said. And it was like a word and a term that I hadn't encountered before. And I was thinking, especially in relation to the pregnant body and the birthing body. And I'm just kind of curious what you mean by that and what that means to you, that word.
I think it all comes from a place of like when I first was starting to paint people. So yeah, this is back in high school and whatnot, and really wanting to get at an emotional place with those people, like somehow express something emotional through the body. And the way to do that, I would start to figure out, is to somehow make that body literally explode, whether that's through color or through mark making. And then also just kind of the way that we look at women's bodies specifically as these leaky, like bleeding entities that are uncontained, and kind of capitalizing on that, like not wanting to hide that, making it huge, making that the whole body itself, just like spilling out of itself. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like I was that kind of person, like my emotions just pour out of me, or my just everything kind of just like comes to the surface. At least I feel that way. People might not describe me that way, but I feel things intensely, and I want to somehow reflect that in imagery. And so the older I became, the more and more that became synonymous with the female body, and not only that, but the reproductive body. And how the monthly bleed and the bleeding that's involved with childbirth and the bleeding after childbirth. That's another thing that I feel like is never talked about that much, is what a big like kind of scar you have inside your uterus that's continuing to bleed for a while. It's these, and it's that like continuous bleeding that's kind of crazy too, because it's different from a period. Mm-hmm. So things like that, I think, are these ideas of the female body kind of erupting out of itself. Mm-hmm. And there's something so discomforting about it in some ways, in that just as a bodily reaction. Like I remember one day recently, or like a year ago or something, I had a nosebleed, and I hadn't had one in so many years. Mm-hmm. And it was the craziest feeling. Like I have a really strong reaction to seeing blood come out of me and not having control over it. I think a lot of people have this with vomiting too.
Right.
Like I know there's a term for people that are actually have a fear of vomiting. And I think it's this idea of the lack of control we have sometimes of things coming out of us. Mm-hmm. And there's something that I like to look at, like I like to look at that as metaphor as well, you know, in so many ways about things that need to be said or emotions that need to be released.
Right. As you were talking, I was just thinking about control and birth. And actually another guest we're going to have on the show wrote a book called Birth Control. And it's, I don't know if you've seen it. Her name's Allison Yarrow. And it's about the ways in which we try to control birth through Western medical processes, et cetera, which I know you're very attuned with. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about your relationship as you're talking about you as a person and someone who is easily someone who kind of pours out and over when it comes to birth itself. It seems like you have a really strong compass in terms of what you want. And I'm curious where that came from, because I think realistically, when we look at birth in the United States where we're sitting right now, it doesn't look like what you're talking about. It doesn't look like that. Most of the like 90, I don't know the exact data, but I think there would be some kind of intervention, whether it's an induction, you know, other forms of pharmaceuticals, other forms of interventions, forceps, stirrups, epidurals, IVs, monitoring. I mean, you could like go on and on and on and on and layer it and layer it. But the type of birth that you're talking about looks very different from that. And so given that, I'm curious how you've gotten there. And clearly, I can see there's a relationship to your art, but I'm curious whether or not you think that's who you were all along, or that's like what it is that fascinates you.
Yeah, good question. Because like with my first pregnancy, I didn't know in the beginning, you know, especially coming from IVF world, I was so reliant on the medical system and all the intervention you could possibly have to intervene with your own ovaries, you know, releasing eggs. So it was really fascinating. In the end, me being like, oh, of course I want a natural birth, made so much sense in terms of my interest with the body and just wanting to know what happens inside the body. But it took me a while to get there because I just didn't know at first. I didn't know what the process of birth was. And I took this is like early pandemic, and I took this virtual like mindful mamas group from a doula. And I learned so much from her. And like, I had no idea there were three stages of labor before that. Like these are the things that don't cross our minds because we've been so miseducated by cinema and by narrative that just talk about the wee little end part of birth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have no idea about the process leading up to it. And once I learned about that, and I remember the first time I learned every little bit about it, it made me feel like sick inside. It was so intense. Like, I had no idea how intricate this process was. And of course, like, it makes sense, especially coming from the IVF world, where I understood the intricacies of when different hormones fire and why and what that does. And so it makes sense in the end that labor works this way. Mm-hmm. But it took me a while to be like, oh, okay. So if this is how it works, and you know, there's like these different ways you can deal with it, either like all the interventions, all the pain meds, all the stuff, or trying, you know, to go around that, or trying to actually not go around it, but go through your body, then I would like to try to, you know, go through it and like feel this whole thing. And it both kind of scared me that that's what I was going to do because no one in my family did that, but it also fascinated me. And so I am definitely that person that like read every birth book and wanted to read all the birth stories. And that alone, I mean, regardless of how my own story turned out, reading all these other stories informed my paintings. It was like this whole new world of the explosive body again, that you can hear everyone's different rendition of, whether it's like a beautiful, like hippy dippy birth or like a traumatic birth gone wrong. Not that I was like seeking out those stories, but it's inevitable that you hear a ton of those stories. And there's so much good material around that to meditate on for new imagery for me. So it was definitely a big realization. And I mean, I was just even looking at some of my painting, going through my website right before this talk, because that always helps me kind of think about what has my work been about for the past few years. And there's not many paintings that are like about birth. There's definitely at least one. And that one actually is very, it has very mixed feelings about birth. There's both like, it's very painful kind of to look at. So, you know, it's a very mixed kind of thing in terms of the way I've approached it. But there's so much that I think birth informed in terms of like how these bodies have then been depicted in both the sense of what happens before and what happens after, for sure.
Yeah, I can see that in your work now so much, especially through this conversation. I understand so much more, which I really appreciate. So speaking of, as you said, you are on the precipice, the threshold, you're in the witchy language of a lot of the midwifery work. You're about to walk the coals of transitioning to motherhood again. And we had discussed that we would talk now and we will talk on the other side, which I am so excited to experience with you. But what I'm wondering is, because this is something that I personally struggled with too, with each birth process, was just given how much you're a deeply feeling person, given how much you are clearly a deeply introspective and intellectualizing and theorizing person, how you can sit in the body in that moment and how you can like let all of that fall away during birth. Like, how are you preparing in that sense, the philosophical and the spiritual too, like all of it? I'm curious if you'd be willing to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think last time I leaned too much on preparation. Like, I think, like, because, you know, I read that that's what you know, you need to prepare. You need to, so I did HypnoBabies last time, which is like it's a hypnobirthing course, which is pretty, I did it like to the T, which means like you do half an hour every day, but I fell asleep every single time I tried to practice these hypnobirthing tracks. And the problem with that is that I could not fall asleep in labor. I had back labor. It was so, so intense. And so I don't know how much the hypnobirthing helped me. And so this time, I mean, I'm sure like the meditative state that it got me in at least helped me with that time of prolonged pregnancy, especially. But this time I've really been all about kind of going within and like really wanting to find everything within myself. And so what does that mean for me? What works for me? So I've been talking to my husband and my doula a lot about what I like. Like, I do like to be coached. I actually have been talking about how in high school and college, I was a rower. And what I loved about rowing was having the coxswain there who would like, you know, shout all these commands at you and keep you going. And so that's something that I want. Whereas like, I both want it to come from within, but I also want that coaching still and that reassurance, because I think I'm so, my husband and I are like so close, and we've been, you know, through this whole process together in terms of the fertility stuff, in terms of the miscarriage, everything, that he is definitely my rock for sure in labor. And so just prepping him, and we did another like kind of virtual birth course, much less intense one than HypnoBabies this time. And it was kind of like, I remember all this stuff and I'm rereading birth books, but I wanted him to be reminded of like every stage of labor and what he can possibly do to help me and all of that. So I do feel like we're somewhat prepared in that sense, and that like we have those reminders and we have a doula we really like. And last time, what I did like about my labor is I labored as like much as I possibly could at home. And then we went to the hospital, and that was always the plan. And that's basically the plan this time. I would love to have a home birth, but he is a scientist and he is very like, he needs to just have that certainty that we will be in the safest place when the baby comes. And safest place, you know, that's subjective too, but to him, that's the hospital, and I need him to be on my team. So there is like a little anxiety about like, okay, will I be able to stay calm and all of that stuff in these final moments? And I keep hoping like maybe we'll just accidentally have the baby at home, but you know, I know that's also not a responsible way to think about it. But there's all these projections that's just like what could happen and what I would love to happen from the last, like what I would like to simulate from the last birth, and the plenty that I would love to not have happen again from that birth. And so one thing that I've done that really helped was I wrote out like my ideal birth imagery. And, you know, I have no expectations of any of it happening. I would love for it to happen, but what it made me realize was what I really want. And even that imagery alone, the practice of making that imagery, it comes from another creative place, and in place of it, you know, was very similar to the way that I make paintings in terms of like the composition and the rhythm and the style of what I would like to happen. And so, yeah, I think a lot of it is, I want to rely more on myself, especially now that I know that I can do it, because I did it a first time. And I had such huge doubt because of the infertility. But this time I know I can do IVF and give birth. It's possible. So
I really appreciate that journey. And when we started with that question of the tension between, like, you've knit them together in a way that makes sense for you, but also just for the way in which each of those processes unfold. That actually really feels really resonant to me. So thank you. I appreciate that. You had me thinking of like, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm envisioning you and your body and this explosive birthing body that's so powerful. And again, you reminded me of, as I'm sitting here actually, so I did have 3 home births. And I'm not going to unpack all that and get into that today. But in the second birth was my, you know, not to put anything on you, this was my personally most challenging birth, was my second birth. And our neighbor 2 doors down knew I was pregnant. She's this older, wonderful woman who the day after, I think I gave birth at night, and the next morning my mom was around and ran into her outside. And she said, "So the baby came." And my mom was like, "How'd you know?" And she's like, "Oh, I know." And she just held her arm up and said to my mom, "She's a warrior," like that. And I was realizing, oh, the window was open and she heard me. But you have to think of, like, for me, at least personally, there's this massive, like, yeah, it's an explosive feeling that you have to embody. When you talk about like, with birth imagery and videos, I've like watched so many of those beautifully quiet births that are like, you know, and I'm just like, that was not my experience at all. So for me, there's just this, yeah, there's just this power. And maybe that's because that's how I've who knows? I can't understand where that's coming from, or, you know, for you too, like what that means. when you say that, I just really feel the power of the body. I mean, obviously the uterus is the most powerful muscle in the human body.
Yeah.
Yet no one honors this muscle that is incredible. And as you know, starts the size of your fist and expands to whatever, a watermelon or more, and then contracts and then expands and contracts and does that throughout the pregnancies that a body can bear. So yeah, I really appreciate all of this imagery. And I've thought a lot about asking a question of each guest. I did this the first season. Unfortunately, I didn't really repeat it the second, but I've been thinking for this season, given the focus, I'm curious if you could define for me or answer this question, what in your life you've given birth to?
I mean, I feel like my like kind of pompous answer would be so many things, right? especially because I really feel like every painting is a birth. Every painting has a lot of struggle in it. And I like a lot of my artist friends know, I talk about my practice a lot as being very constipated sometimes. And I think that's just like real self-consciousness. Like I do think paintings kind of flow out of me. Like I make a lot of work, but in the moment, I think so much about what the painting represents, and I want the composition to have this, some kind of meaning to it. So I do a lot of planning before every painting, and I do a lot of prep work. And so that's the part that feels very constipated. It's like when the labor slows down, you know? And so I feel like in my life, I've had so many little moments of those rhythms going in and out of like super open, super productive, you know, about to like birth something beautiful and then also like retract and constrict and be too self-aware sometimes. So I would say a lot of little things, a lot of imagery. I think that's something that I'm so focused on, is making imagery that hasn't been seen before, or like just combinations in my head that just like come out of nowhere. And that's what I love. When I look at my paintings and what I like to reflect on about them is like, where did that come from? Like, where did this idea come from? And how did I layer the limbs in this way? And I love to dissect, it was because of the influence of these very specific images that I had on my wall at the time, and also these very specific ideas and things that I was going through. So I feel like these are the things I'm always giving birth to. And then there's the more obvious, there's like giving birth to a family. Even just in the act of like coming together with my husband, like marrying him and creating a unit, and then birthing my first child, and now birthing another, every step is creating something totally new, not just the child itself, but like a whole new entity and set of complexities in terms of how each individual interacts with one another and how each component affects the whole. And that's another thing in terms of the anticipation of this one, the way that my last baby came, it went pretty well in terms of me getting back into the studio. She was great to have in the studio, and she was also a great napper. And I had no idea if it would be that way. And so this time, you know, there's a slight expectation that it might be that way. And there's a definite hope that it will. But I don't have any idea. This is a whole different entity. And I think that going through IVF too is like very, very much this whole idea of giving birth to something as well, because you're like really, really proactively creating embryos that hopefully will stick and hopefully will be tested, you know, because we had all of ours genetically tested, and hopefully they'll be normal. But, you know, only a certain fraction came back normal. So it's like these very intense processes of like constantly giving birth to things and then reflecting and having losses too. So.
Well, thank you. So a question specifically to you as we close out, given that we're hopefully talking in, I don't know, a month, two, something. We'll figure it out when you're ready. Do you want to say anything to yourself? Because this is a little time capsule of sorts to that moment of Alexandra on the other side.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, I just want to say whatever happens in the birth, like, I hope that if there's any, like, you know, these like silly reflections about my performance not being what I hoped it was or any of that, if anything, whatever, I just think I need to recognize this whole new awareness that I've cultivated through this pregnancy, and both the way that it's infused my work, the way that I've become so much more aware of my own psyche in this body for this birth, in terms of exactly what you asked, in terms of the birth prep. You know, I'm not relying on a class to tell me exactly how to think this time. And I think I just want to tell my future self to be forgiving and open to however I end up thinking in the process and thereafter. Because I know I can be really self-critical, and hopefully I'll just be like proud of myself, whatever. That's what I want to cultivate. That's a hard thing to foresee in terms of like something I'd want to say to myself, but we'll see.
Well, thank you for humoring me for a little bit anyway. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was so wonderful to be able to sit today, and especially given where you are, I really appreciate that you've been able to take the time, take some deep breaths, sit with your body. I'm very impressed you haven't gone up to go to the bathroom at all.
I know. Yeah. It's incessant. No, I timed my hydration before this. I was like, you know, I need to tone it down just before.
Nice. Well, awesome. Well, I'm excited. Sitting here in the background, we'll be thinking of you and we'll be cheering for you and for you to be able to, you know, experiencing, as you said, it is what it is, and you'll be on that side eventually, and this baby will come. And yeah, we're excited to hear all about it and to sit with you in that moment too. So thank you for being so open and vulnerable today and sharing all of your work too.
Yeah, no, I love this. This is like the best type of conversation I could have had right now, is like this, all this intersection of birth and my work and mothering. It's just like, it's the stuff I'm constantly thinking about and wanting to talk about. So thank you so much for having me.
I'm your host, Caitlin Salamini, and this is the Postpartum Production Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating. This will help us reach more listeners like you who are navigating the joys and pitfalls of artistic and parenting identities. For regular updates, visit our website, postpartumproduction.com, follow us on Instagram at Postpartum Production Podcast, and subscribe to our podcast newsletter on Substack. Thank you for listening, and we are so grateful to have you with us on this journey. Postpartum may feel like forever, and sometimes it may feel very lonely, but you're not alone here.